welcome to Tip Tap Tip. My name is Eric.
My name is Rochelle.
Joined by our good friend Kelly, who's coming into our very, very, very hot apartment.
Hello.
First time on Tip Tap Tip.
Yes.
He's a Tip Tap Tip virgin.
Not after tonight.
That's right. I have to say this because this is something that kind of came up about half an hour ago. And I just kind of got to get out of my way. But leave it to technology to kind of throw me off my game. Let me just explain here. Because, you know...
Is this going to be boring?
No, well...
Is this like about computers?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Do you want me to turn... Why don't you just take your headphones off for the next minute or something?
Okay.
No, you can still hear me. But this is a new thing, and I kind of got caught up in it because it was a big sort of thing technology-wise last week. Google has kind of come up with their answer to Facebook. Thing called Google Plus, and it was a sort of an exclusive thing in which you had to sign up for and get an invite to, and then they closed it down because of overwhelming demand. Now, I had signed up for an invite last week, and I finally, half an hour before the show started, about 50 minutes before you arrived, Kelly, I finally got my way in. I'm like, fuck, why do we have to do a show?
They sent you an invite?
They just kind of opened the floodgates. I got an invite last weekend, but then they kind of shut the doors and kind of opened them up.
And now you have to wait till after the show?
I really feel like
oh, I should well, stop the show.
I should just stop the show and turn off the mics and just play around with the computer for the next little while. Just to sort of figure my way around. And it does things.
I know, but Eric, you never use Facebook.
I know.
You don't even have like the option to write on your wall or anything like that.
I took it off.
You're on Facebook, but you are... Not really on Facebook.
Well, and I am a proud leaver of Facebook.
Oh, you came Ooh. And you went.
Yes, I came and I went.
Wow.
What do they call it? Facebook suicide?
Did you do that?
I did that.
Nice. I wish I could do that, but then there'd be sort of weird questions. One, all of a sudden, your relationship status would be, Rochelle is no longer in a relationship. And then I would be getting phone calls from everybody because
really
yeah
just because you're not on Facebook.
Well, because remember when we changed our
because you're linked together.
Ew.
Remember when we
what
we
did you do, Kelly?
I got really drunk one night and did it spontaneously.
That's the way to do it.
So I knew. But what about your wife?
Well, see, we didn't have any of that on there.
Oh
okay.
Yeah, we were actually really private on there.
Yeah,
we were secret. And then I knew I'd wanted to leave for a while. And I just couldn't do it because of all the work connections and, you know, all the questions. Why did you leave Facebook?
Yeah.
And one night, a year ago, last summer, when I was really drunk one night, I
like, fuck it.
And did it. Yeah.
Nice.
Haven't looked back.
It's pretty good. Like, but now there's, now, so did you want a Google Plus invite then? Is that what you're saying?
No.
I have lots. I can hand them out. Now that I'm on this thing, I feel like everybody should be part of this, at least until. It has these things. I'm so happy about this. I'm so excited because I just discovered this about half an hour ago. These things called circles, right? And it's a way of grouping people, right? You know, friends, acquaintances, work buddies, or whatever, right? So first thing I did is I eliminated all like the default circles and I created two. Good books, bad books, right?
So you're good. You're gonna have people that you're not friends with?
People who are on my shit list and people who are on my hit list, right?
Can I be on your shit list?
Well, you have to be in. So do you want the invite then? Save the thing?
I don't know.
All right, I'll send.
Facebook is already
a thing.
I don't know. It's like you go on it just to look, just to see, you know, for event invites or whatever. My book club, we connect through Facebook. It's the easiest way to do it.
Yeah.
And so I go on there just to look at that. And then I get sucked into like, oh, look at this. Look at this.
So-and-so.
You know, and
well, and I will admit to being the occasional voyeur, I'll go onto my wife's Facebook account when I'm bored.
Oh,
and just see what everybody else is doing.
Do it.
Yeah.
I just don't have to share anything.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking about that a while back. But then I have the Facebook page, which is tied to my account. And I'm not sure what would happen to that if I got drunk. And decide to say, fuck it.
Okay, how do you delete your MySpace account, because I still get that shit sent to me, and I never look at my MySpace account. I don't even know if it's still, like, I think it still exists, but.
Does MySpace still exist?
Actually,
yeah, exactly.
It exists, but actually, it, actually just, as of last week, it got sold for $30 million, which sounds like a lot, but considering that in 2006, it was purchased for over $500 million.
Wow.
It's a bit of a loss from, News Corp, who bought it then. Yeah. One of the, one of the new board of directors of MySpace is actually none other than Justin Timberlake.
What?
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
For real, because he was on that movie.
Yes, but that was Facebook.
So. That was Facebook.
And that was a movie.
Yeah. No, but I don't know. I guess he has an interest in that, so I don't know. You're actually letting me talk about technology. This is fantastic.
No, but because you're not really talking about computer stuff. Okay. Really.
So if I may interject here, what sure. I find weird, being a first-time guest, like every time I've been in front of a microphone like this, it's been to promote the theater, to promote a project I'm working on, like on the airwaves.
Yes.
So the fact that you guys get to swear on here,
ooh,
it's something I'm not used to, and it just feels
wrong. Are we blowing your mind right now?
Yeah, yeah. I
yeah, we're rated wrong. On iTunes. It says, what does it say? Rated.
Explicit.
Wow.
We could say fuck.
Or
fart knocker. Because I remember years ago in the 1990s when I had, like, for a summer when I actually had my own show on CJSW. That was one of the things that you kind of had to watch out for. Is one, swearing, and B, making sure that you write down all the songs you play and making sure that you play, like, it was like 30% Canadian content or whatever. It was a thing.
Let's just explain a bit. Kelly, what do you do?
I work in the theater. I'm the artistic director of a Calgary theater company called Sage Theater.
And it's good. It's a good one.
It's a good one.
It's a good
if
one.
If I do say so myself. Yeah. Yeah, we do intimate theater in the Joyce Doolittle Theater, which is Pump House Theater in Calgary, seating between 60 and 70 people per performance. And we do contemporary, evocative, emotionally visceral storytelling.
Visceral, that's a good word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we like to make people feel bad.
Yeah, I think we've talked about some of the Sage Theater's plays and events and stuff
that we've been to
the podcast.
Yeah, well, because you've been involved with Sage Theater since I took over 7 years ago.
Okay.
You've seen like
holy cow,
most
that's
of the shows.
A long time.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, because yeah. I think the first season that I saw was when I was first dating Rochelle, and that was when we saw the. Trestle.
That was a good one.
That was the first season. So
yeah
you've been around since the start too.
That was your first season?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
That's crazy.
We're getting old.
Yeah, we are getting old. I think my most memorable one was when you guys did Train Spotting.
Yeah,
it was
mine too.
Awesome. Like these two ladies who were sitting in front of us when you guys did the toilet scene.
We had pukers in that show. Not because of the toilet scene or the gross factor. It was the needles.
Some
people have real phobias about needles. And it's funny because they were all props and the syringes didn't actually have needles on them.
Yeah.
They're just
the plastic part of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but you know the reaction from the audience was so visceral.
Yeah,
we had people who passed out and pukers. It's great.
That's a feather in your cap. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's very effective.
How many other artistic directors of theater companies around town can say that?
Huh? Well, I think it's funny because for the Trainspotting one, that was the first time that Eric met Chris Osman.
Oh, yeah, and you got to see Chris Baradol.
Yeah, and he's been on our show a few times as well, so.
Yeah.
But obviously he's been wearing more clothes.
You should have seen him backstage.
Oh, my goodness. That was a really good, really good play. What was the other one? Oh, that Blowfish. That one was really cool.
Yeah, one of my favorites, too.
Yeah, because that's the one where you had, like, the tables. Kind of, it was almost set up like as if you were at like a buffet dinner kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then you served like a few different appetizers like throughout the play. And then it was the caterer dude talking the whole time.
Yeah, basically the premise was that he's invited the audience there to witness his life story, and at the end of the play, he commits suicide, which, of course, you don't know, but yeah. At the end, you're duped into witnessing his last rites.
Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah. I like the space. Are they changing the Pump House Theater?
Well, that's the plan. They have a project to renovate and expand the theater. Like, the existing buildings are heritage sites, so they can't do much except for, like,
and it's literally like an old pump house.
Yeah, literally. Like 1910 it's so cool. Or something like that it was built.
It's kind of hard to find.
Yeah. But once you've been there,
But once you've been there, you know where it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember
the first time we walked down there.
Actually, it's funny because I think when we're walking...
It was like one of our first dates was going to Stage Theater. And we were walking down the river pathway. And Kelly, you were like, "Yeah, you can't miss it. It's right on the pathway."
And we
overshot it
because
totally.
On the pathway side, there's no sign that says this is the Pump House, right?
Actually, the funny thing is, on the way back from that, because I think it's like our second date or third date, we were walking back towards Rochelle's place in Kensington, right? And we're walking along 9th or whatever. And we decided to just pop in for a drink. I don't even know what bar this was, right?
Well, now it is the blues bar that's down there.
Oh, Mikey's Juke Joint.
Mikey's Juke Joint. Now whatever it's Mikey's it was Juke Joint.
Jackdaw's.
Whatever. Yeah. Neighborhood pub, right? It was full of old people.
So we're sitting there, like, across from each other drinking beer. I think out of plastic cups or something.
Remember.
And people are just leering at us, like,
yeah, people were staring at us, but I think it's
in like
also,
a creepy, weird way. And we're just like, all right, it's also, one beer's fine. We'll get out of here
because it was one of our first dates, so we were still like
very touchy feely,
like, gushy eyes all over each other.
Gross.
And
our first date.
People are like, nice. Make out.
Our first date actually was when we went to go see Miss Congeniality 2.
And you had a second date after that. Eh?
Yeah.
Something else.
It was a date that I always wanted to do because I never made out in a movie theater when I was younger. So I wanted to go see, like, the worst movie possible so that we can make out. And Eric was like, cool, sounds good.
And the making out was a success?
Yeah, because we really only saw, like, half the movie before. We're just like, all right, well, this is just stupid. Why are we watching this, right?
Yeah, but Eric, don't forget that you actually went home and watch the rest of the movie because you had to see the way that it ended. I'm like, really? It's not that good.
No, I didn't watch it immediately afterwards. I think it was about 6 months down the line.
Oh,
it was still,
that makes it better?
It was still sticking in my mind. I'm like, what happened at the end of that fucking movie? Because Sandra Bullock was undercover and things were happening. And then, you know, things got a bit hot and heavy. And then that kind of went away from my mind. But now that I think back at that, I kind of wanted to see how that situation would resolve.
And how did it resolve? Did Sandra save the day?
Yeah, pretty much.
Of course.
Yeah, I could have called that. It's Hollywood.
Enough.
Everything ends good.
But there wasn't a Miss Congeniality 3, so I guess it didn't do that well. Maybe everybody was making out during that movie. I don't know. Maybe that's why they didn't make a third one.
I wasn't paying attention to other people. So.
And has Sandra Bullock made a movie since? Like, what's she doing these days?
She won an Oscar for The Blind Side. She won an Oscar and a Razzie in the same year.
Wow.
Yeah, do you know, have you heard of that movie?
I haven't.
Okay, because I remember being in the movie theater and seeing a preview for that movie and laughing my ass off because I thought, this is so fucking dumb. really? This is so dumb. Like, if I was going to make a movie that was super, super, super cliche, everything about it,
it was
it would
hitting
be
all,
that movie.
All, like, the melodramatic notes that you would expect a movie.
Of course.
Like that
it's
hit.
Like, what is it? Like, some big black kid who's in high school or something And then she's from this rich hoity-toity family.
I'm Sandra Bullock. I've got a rescue.
Southern accent chick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, adopts the big black boy.
And they fall in love?
No, she
no. No.
That would be...
She, like, saves him or something. I don't know. I haven't seen it. But watching the preview, I was like, fuck off.
It just seemed to be really, really melodramatic. And
yeah, and everyone who's seen it is like, no, Rochelle, it is really good. And I'm like, I don't think so.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, there's some things you just take someone's word for it and leave it alone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, now I dragged Rochelle out to a movie on Monday. And actually, I'm kind of curious to see what you think about it now that we've had sort of 2 days to kind of digest it. The Tree of Life.
Have you heard of it?
I haven't. I'm so out of touch in movies.
Yeah, me too. Eric just told me.
I just drag her to things and go, you have to see this, Rochelle. Yeah. It's great. It's a movie which just came out a couple weeks ago by Terrence Malick, who did The Thin Red Line, et cetera, et cetera. And now that I've had a few days to think about this, I don't know what I think about it. Like, it's interesting because it's both Sean Penn and Brad Pitt are in it. And Sean Penn plays the son, Brad Pitt, but most of the movie takes place back in like the 1950s and 1960s. And it's all sort of done in weird flashback and narration and stuff like that. I don't know. But it's very, very heavy on the visual and narration, like very, very, very sort of.
Yeah, like I think most of the movie is kind of like watching the Discovery Channel.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, it was cool.
Like Planet Earth, that's a great series.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen that, but it's kind of like I'd say the main star of the movie would be the galaxy.
Yeah. No, like...
Honestly, like you say Brad Pitt and Sean Penn are in it, but they're in it for like 1/8 of the movie, like a very small part of the movie.
No, because it's mostly about the kids, right?
No, it's most, yeah, like a lot of it is, I felt, a lot of it was the visuals of Earth.
Yeah, because it's
Earth, and then there's like dinosaur visuals, and then it goes to the galaxy visuals, and then
it's hard to explain,
like,
it's a bit heady, but...
visuals of, jellyfish and stuff like that, and then it'll kind of like go into the story a little bit, but there's not really too much of a story. I think it's mostly... I think the way that the director came up with the idea for the movie was Sean Penn is thinking about his past.
Yes.
And he's getting older, and he starts to think about, like what's that, the question that Monty Python has? Like, life and the meaning of life or something like that?
The meaning, life, the universe.
Yeah, no, that one. Oh, that's Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Yeah, that line summarizes that movie.
Yeah, because it's just,
I liked it. I really liked it. Like,
now, I wasn't sure that you were going to like it. Like, by this,
I liked it, but I think that they could have like minimized the visual sort of part by like a half an hour because it was a bit much. Like, I honestly, I started to get really tired.
Fair enough. That's a good gauge to whether you enjoy a movie or not.
Yeah.
Last movie I saw was Thor.
Did you like it?
No.
No.
I like parts of it because I'm a big nerd, as you guys know. You know, love.
But
the
we watched
books,
Thor,
the
old one.
No, we watched we watched Almighty Thor, which is a kind of a knockoff version, which was released around the same time on Netflix.
Yeah,
but it has Richard Grieco, which is I guess.
Oh, it's so bad.
Which is terrible. Kind of on par with Sir
that
Anthony
dude
Hopkins.
He looks like a chick, you know, like.
Well,
but
Chris
in
Hemsworth
kind of an awesome
so
way. Who?
Chris Hemsworth, who plays Thor in the new movie, he's so pretty. He's kind of like a chick.
What the fuck?
I actually did.
Why would they cast a pretty dude to play Thor?
Because of his abs. You see the body that dude has?
I don't know who
Thor.
He is. But I would imagine Thor would be like hairy, dirty, fucking big, huge Viking type
god.
Dude.
He's a beard.
Like Eric, but hairier. And
I'm hardly a Norse god, but I'll...
No, you could totally be a Norse god. You just got to get Rogaine, put it all over your body, and then get, like, fucking abs of steel. And then cover yourself in Vaseline so you always look sweaty.
Have you seen... Okay, first of all, Rochelle, you've seen how non-handy I am with a hammer, right? Now,
but the hammer does all your work for you, though.
Yeah,
because
but
it's
like,
magic, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I did check out the new Thor.
That would actually be perfect for you because you are so not handy. The only way that you can become handy is to have a magic hammer.
That does all the work for it.
Yeah.
Mystical hammer.
Brilliant. There you go.
Brilliant.
Patent that shit.
Right, so you're going to get off?
That's what they should do. They should make a computerized hammer for all like the unhandy computer dudes so they can pretend to be handy.
Just programming.
I hammer.
Yeah.
Program in what do you want it to do? Fix the thing.
Yeah.
What is the thing? I don't know.
Hammer the nail in straight. Burr, burr, burr.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I think we can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you were at the comic book convention a couple weeks ago.
Did you get dressed up?
No.
Okay, so you're not a total nerd.
No, although I appreciate a good costume. Yeah. The people there, it's amazing, some of the costumes. It is a galaxy far, far away.
Did you check out any of the seminars or any of the...
A little bit. Actually, this year when we went, we didn't go to as much as we have in past years. So, you know, got to see Bill Shatner in all his glory. And that was really what I went for.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, we didn't go see him. We saw...
We went on Sunday, right? So we got to see Jonathan Frakes. And we got to see...
He's awesome.
He is. He's a huge dude.
He's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, highlight for sure.
And we saw...
He could be Thor. He could play Thor.
If Thor just sort of hung out on a couch and...
He could be like old Thor.
And cracked...
Retired Thor.
Hanging out on the couch, throwing a hammer at a wall.
That'd be funny if somebody made a movie about retired superheroes.
Starring Jonathan Frakes. I'd see
that. Totally. If you could be a superhero, who would you be?
Superman. That's a no-brainer.
Really?
So you're more of a DC or a Marvel?
To be honest, I haven't read comics in years, but when I was reading, I was more of a Marvel guy. I was a Spider-Man guy.
Yeah.
But Superman can fly, and he's invincible, and he has super strength. I mean, come on. My choice, hands down. But for cool factor, I don't know, Spider-Man, he'd be pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Spider-Man's kind of boring. He's kind of a...
He's boring. He slings webs.
I don't know. That's all he does. He just slings webs.
Climbs webs and blah, blah, blah.
I don't know.
A bit right radioactive.
I just don't really think it's cool. Like, it's not super cool.
What?
Superman's way cooler than Spider-Man.
He's from another fucking planet.
Yeah, exactly. That's why.
He's the last son of Krypton. Come on.
Yeah. No, see, I'm saying Superman's cool. Spider-Man is just... I just always think of, like... Who's the actor that played Spider-Man?
Tobey Maguire. Yeah.
Oh! Him! Why is that dude famous? He is so stupid.
Because he was in Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3.
He is the worst actor ever, and he's just this puny little squirt. Like,
and didn't he just get busted for, like, illegal gambling or something?
Actually, yeah. I remember reading that.
Serious bank gambling.
I
would say, like, whoever cast him in that role screwed up that movie for me.
You can blame Sam Raimi for
that.
Totally.
Yeah, see, Sam Raimi can do no wrong.
So many other people that would be better.
Like, who? If you had to cast Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man movie, which is already cast, but if you had to go back in time and recast, who would you cast?
To the year 2000. Think back. You were casting an...
Okay, who's the guy that played the evil guy on Spider-Man? And he was...
What, Willem Dafoe?
No.
James Franco?
James Franco. That's who I would pick for Spider-Man.
Oh, he's too...
He's good.
He's too much of a beefcake. He's too good-looking to be geeky Peter Parker. See, Peter Parker has to be a nerd.
No, but he could. He could be the nerd dude. He could. Just, you can make anyone into a nerd. That's easy.
You throw some glasses on them and you roll up their pant legs.
Yeah. You know, part their hair. I don't know. Make them wear a backpack. Like, there you go.
Nerd. Like nerds do.
That's a problem with Tobey Maguire is he is too much of the nerd. And the transition to, like, Spider-Man just didn't work for me because he is just too much of a nerd.
But arguably, Spider-Man wears a costume, wears a mask, so Spider-Man is Spider-Man, and you don't care who's underneath. The thing about Peter Parker as a character, he's a real person who has real struggles, and that was always, like, Stan Lee's angle with the character of Peter Parker. He was a teenager who had
shitty boss.
Problems. Yeah, crappy boss, couldn't pay his rent, all that kind of stuff, and that was, like, the everyman appeal of Spider-Man.
His family's dead, he's taking care of his decrepit aunt. Like, come on, give the kid a break.
No, he wasn't a Norse god from another planet. He was a little
maybe that's nerdy. Why I don't like him, because he's a nerd. He's like...
What do you got against nerds?
Yeah, Rochelle, what's up? You know what you married?
It's just, when I think of a superhero, they got to be, like, hot and buff and strong, and he is not that. Like, I think of, like,
Christian Bale
Punisher. The Punisher is fucking cool, right?
It's because he's got guns and he just shoots the shit out of stuff.
Yeah, like, he's so cool. Our Ghost Rider, so cool.
Ghost Rider's ruined for me because Nicolas Cage was Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
I like Nicolas Cage.
What? I have to leave, I think.
What? Well, he's been in some stupid shit, but, you know, Face Off was stupid, but it was still kind of good.
Yeah, except but that...
Yeah, I don't get that movie, though. John Travolta and Nicolas Cage trade faces, but their bodies are totally different. But everyone believes it.
Suspension of belief.
I guess so.
Yeah. So...
I didn't think about that.
So somebody in our live chat is suggesting Crispin Glover. I'm not sure, for the role of Spider-Man. I'm not sure, but I think
he is such a nerd, but he can also be badass. Crispin Glover.
Crispin Glover, like 20-25 years ago.
Yeah, because I think he's
because he wouldn't be able to play like a 20-year-old.
No,
because when he was in Back to the Future, he was.
Or you know what, Michael J. Fox would have been perfect for it. It like 20 years
ago. A pre-famous Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, because he's also able to do like the geeky thing, but he's not irritating geeky like Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, so true.
Something about him that just... I think so maybe it's his eyeballs. They're like really weird looking.
So you just hate Tobey Maguire. So
yeah, I just don't like him. I don't understand why he's even famous.
That's fair enough. You didn't like Seabiscuit?
What actor do you not like?
You put me on the spot like that.
Cameron Diaz, do you like
Ben Affleck? Ben Affleck, I can't stand.
Yeah.
Every shot, the guy's got his mouth wide open.
What is he in, like, anymore?
He's been in a lot of stuff lately.
But isn't it all stupid comedy stuff, though?
Well, he was nominated for an Oscar or something, wasn't he?
He did The Town, which I haven't seen.
No, I haven't seen that. Who do you hate?
Who do I hate?
As an actor, like, who are you, like, if that person's in the movie, you won't see it.
Oh, man.
Julia Roberts, too, for me.
Agreed.
Yeah. I just kind of...
It's like, okay, we get over it. We all know that people like your laugh, but you don't have to do it every 5 minutes.
Speaking of Crispin Glover, did you guys see Hot Tub Time Machine?
Yes.
He was great in that.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting anything, and I laughed my ass
off. Did you know that he came to Calgary?
Yeah, he came a couple months ago.
I heard that, yeah.
For his slideshow. That he tours, and also his movies that he's done. But Rochelle and I were going to go, but for some reason it just didn't pan out. I think it was really, really cold or something.
I can't remember why we didn't go. I think it was probably like I was working late, and then I think it was like $25 to go see him, or it was something stupid that it's like, it's really expensive. I don't know.
But apparently I've heard he's a real weirdo in real life.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, look at it. It's pretty easy to tell that. Have you not seen that movie, like, that weird one where he's Willard, where he's living in a house and he has pet rats, and then he has more and more rats living with him, and he, like, takes care of them and stuff?
Actually, I'm speaking of Crispin Glover.
So weird.
Person in our live chat saying he was Grendel in Beowulf, which was, I have to say, a shitty fucking movie.
Well, who the fuck cares who was in that movie, because it was all computer all cartoons, stuff.
Yeah. Oh, it was weird. Like,
I didn't like it.
I didn't like it at all.
Saw it.
No.
We rented it, right? Or,
yeah, we rented it. And I was pretty excited to watch it because it seemed like a really cool story. But that CG stuff, I just hate it.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And that was my biggest problem with Thor, was half the movie it looked like George Lucas made it because it was on a different planet. It was a big cartoon.
You know what you have to watch is, what's that, the Star Wars?
Oh, yeah, because we were a couple weeks ago.
It's on YouTube.
Oh,
Star Wars
Review? Yes,
Mr. Plinkett.
Yeah,
yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
Rochelle, I sat down, we watched, I think, both the reviews for the Phantom Menace and then the review for Attack of the Clones, and those are fantastic, and I think arguably those reviews are better than any of the movies.
There's more entertainment value there for sure.
Yeah,
just recently
I was like, he makes the point of, you know, everything is really confusing in the new Star Wars, and I will agree with that. I walked away, and anybody can ask me, like, right after the movie, what was it about? I have no fucking idea. No fucking idea. But in the old ones, you're like, yeah, this and this happened, this and this
and
happened.
Trade delegations and clones and boom, boom, boom. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah, I've watched a number of those reviews. He just recently did a shorter review, only about like 25 minutes of this movie, which was, I think, direct-to-DVD movie called Cop Dog.
What?
Cop Dog, that sounds awesome.
Which is funny.
Oh my goodness, that's like, what was that movie with, oh, the Chihuahuas. Remember, you know the Chihuahua, Beverly Hills Chihuahuas?
Saw the commercial for it.
So yeah, that's it.
All right.
Well, just because we're talking about movies and stuff, like, what's one of the plays that you're doing this year that you're super excited about? It's a really good story.
All of them.
All of them.
The one that I'm directing, the next one coming up, nice. It's called Summer of My Amazing Luck. It's based on a novel by Miriam Taves, who's a Governor General award-winning novelist.
Oh, I think I read one of her books.
Yeah.
It was about a Mormon girl or something.
Don't know that one. I've only read Summer of My Amazing Luck because we're doing the play.
Okay.
It might be a different author. Sometimes I get their names mixed up.
But yeah, that one, it's adapted by an Edmonton playwright named Chris Craddock. And it's basically the story of a single unwed mother who lives in a welfare or in a government assisted housing in Winnipeg. And it's at the heart, it's a road story. It's about her and her best friend who get in the dilapidated old van with the kids and go and try and find a long lost love. But you know, throughout it's there's many layers and many many different story elements to it, exploring, you know, the burden of the unwed single mother in the welfare state in Canada, the safety net, and how, you know, it's pretty easy to slip through the safety net, the government assisted housing, and how crappy it is, and how.
Is it a true story by the author?
No, it's not a true story, but it's, you know, inspired by real life situations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in spite of all that crappy stuff, these people still find value in their life and all this other, and the politics and the bleeding heart story, it's all sort of secondary to these people trying to find meaning and value in their life. And it's a little bit more tame than a lot of the stuff that Sage Theatre's done. But at the same time, it'll be highly theatrical. It's, you know, dozens of locations made out of found objects on stages, quick character shifts, you know, each character plays about a dozen, or each actor plays about a dozen characters.
Oh, wow.
Each.
Oh, that's cool.
And really high energy, high pace, highly theatrical.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
Yeah, that's going to be hard, though, to figure out how to do all that. Do you have to figure out how to do all that?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, primarily I come up with, you know, the starting points. But you work with designers, and when you're in rehearsal with the actors, you know, we have three really intelligent actors in the play who will help that process. And, you know, I'll come up with the starting point, but then we jam from there and find something even better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then how long do you guys usually rehearse for plays?
3 weeks.
That's actually it?
A really short period. Yeah. It's Canadian theater, North American theater. It's kind of like fast food in a lot of ways. Like, and 3 weeks is longer than a lot of
wow.
plays rehearsed too.
Yeah, because I was checking out the schedule on the Sage Theatre website, and it's just like boom, 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 one after another. There's a little bit of a break between.
Because usually you do four plays.
We do three plays, then the festival ignites.
Oh, yeah. So four events.
Yeah. And but it's not like, you know, in Europe and stuff, they have like 6 months to a year of rehearsal for most of their stuff.
Yeah.
And they really take the time to, you know, to cultivate the art out of the process and have the time for reflection and percolation and time for perspective, you know. When you rehearse that long, you have the opportunity to step back and really look at what you're doing, where when you only have 3 weeks, you have to go until you get it done and then put it up and hope it's good.
Yeah. But you're the artistic director. Can't you just change it?
I could. I would love to. It costs money.
You got to pay
the actors for their rehearsal time. And 3 weeks is about all we can afford in Canada.
Yeah. Right? So you do fundraisers for Sage Theatre.
We sure do.
What's your big one?
Well, we do an annual one every spring. And this year, you know, because you were there.
Yeah, much fun.
It was awesome this year.
It was awesome.
It was called the Time Traveler's Ball. And it was a big, big event at Heritage Park at the Wainwright Hotel in Calgary. And it was a steampunk event. So people dressed in the steampunk genre.
Yeah.
And they're awesome costumes.
I had no idea this whole like steampunk thing is fucking huge.
It is huge, yeah.
Like, there was a table at the comic book show with people selling steampunk stuff. There is a group in Calgary that meets once a month.
The Steampunk Assemblage.
Yeah. For beers and gears.
Yeah, that's great.
Like, I had no idea it was such a huge thing. And I'm like, you know, when I was getting ready for the party, I realized that I just own all this shit. I didn't even have to go out of my way to put my costume together.
Yeah, because I remember seeing the pictures of Rochelle at the event. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I know that and that and that and that.
Yeah.
So you had all that stuff, but it's just 10 minutes ago, you were bashing nerds.
But those are different kinds of nerds.
That's a different kind of nerd. Oh. Kelly, come on.
Yeah, but it was awesome. It was
and
an
it
awesome
wasn't
party.
Bashing nerds. I was just bashing Tobey Maguire.
Okay, fair enough.
Specifically, that fucking little nerd.
Yeah, I like nerds. Eric's a total nerd, and I married him. So.
Yeah, trick nerd you. Power. I'm a hypnotism nerd. You will marry me. Let me just say this before we continue. If you have any topic ideas, any questions, stories, anything you'd like to share with us, we have an email address that's info@tiptaptip.com. Send us the things. We would like it. Let me say this. Actually, speaking of superheroes, this is something I've queued up. I've been sitting on this for a while, but because we've kind of been talking about this for the next little bit, this is a trailer for... Incredible Hulk, XXX parody.
Incredible Hulk, was that story written by a man or a woman?
It was created by Stan Lee in the 1960s.
Oh, okay. Because it kind of seems like something that a woman would come up with because her husband had a short temper.
Maybe. maybe Stan Lee was getting into an argument with his wife. He's like, you won't like me when I'm angry. But actually, this particular parody is a specific to the 1970s series with Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno. And while you can't see it, Kelly, you'll definitely get the gist of it. And there is no nudity and there's no sex in this trailer, so just so we're clear.
What? Why do you need to say that?
Just so you know.
Okay.
Anyways,
thank you.
Have a listen.
Think you know about superpowers? Vivid Entertainment will set you straight. Watch Vivid's take on what really gives people superhuman strength in The Incredible Hulk XXX, a porn parody.
David Banner, sexually frustrated scientist, struggles to uncover the hidden powers of the human orgasm. Then, an accidental exposure to gamma radiation alters his genetic makeup and increases his sexuality far beyond that of normal men. And now, when David Banner is provoked or loses his temper, an amazing transformation occurs. The monster is driven by desire, with an investigative journalist in pursuit.
Mr. McGee. Don't make me angry. You won't like me when I'm angry.
Sexual frustration builds as Banner works closely with his beautiful assistant Elena, leading to erotic disaster. David Banner is thought to be dead, and he must maintain the pretense that he is dead until he can tame the erotic spirit that inhabits his troubled soul.
Now, we'll have to say this. I guess the companies behind these productions, I guess in this case Vivid Entertainment, they managed to nail the look of the 1970s series, like, almost to a T. Like, they have, like, the...
It doesn't look, like, super cheesy like most of them.
Well, yeah, like... they managed to really... Well, I guess that plus the sexual scene.
My question is, when the dude turns into a Hulk.
Yes, he probably has a green cock, I'm sure.
So, why'd you know I was going to ask that?
Well, that was a good guess, right?
So I couldn't see it because I'm not facing the computer, but the biggest problem I have with it, it's an Incredible Hulk parody. And the best title they could think of was The Incredible Hulk, an erotic parody. Come on.
Yeah, but it's probably just because they want to have The Incredible Hulk in it so that people are searching for Incredible Hulk stuff. It would come
could you
up,
call
right?
it like The Incredible Bulk?
Yeah.
Like there's some.
There's, yeah, there's a myriad of different jokes.
Or like The Incredible Hulk Bulk.
All right, let's continue with some news here. A motorcyclist dies in helmet law protest. Okay, have you heard about this one?
No.
A bareheaded motorcyclist riding in protest of New York State's helmet law crashed, struck his head on the roadway, and died from his injuries.
Whoa, fuck. That's awful. That's so bad.
Philip Contos, 55, was riding among a large group of motorcyclists staging an organized protest ride in western New York near Syracuse against the state law requiring all motorists to wear helmets. He crashed and was pronounced dead later at a local hospital. The doctor felt that the death could have been prevented if he had simply been wearing a helmet, police said. He hit the brakes, lost control, and was ejected and struck his head on the road. He suffered a skull fracture and subsequently died. Well, I guess that wasn't his desired outcome, but...
It's not a law for people to have to wear a helmet on their motorcycle in the States?
No, in New York it is, but they were staging a protest saying that, you know, this law is bullshit. We don't want to wear helmets because we think that this law is stupid. And he didn't in protest and then died because of that. So.
Wow.
Wow. I don't know what more to say because it's kind of funny, but it's also kind of
isn't that what
tragedy.
Isn't that what the Germans call Schadenfreude?
Yeah, Schadenfreude. That word.
What does that mean?
I just know the song from.
It means laughing at somebody else's despair, I guess.
Well, when they deserve it.
But I don't know.
That's a little extreme. Not that he deserved to die, but
yeah,
there is something comical about
being
that.
A bit of a showboat. You could have just written a letter of perdition. You didn't have to. Okay, I shouldn't laugh. He's dead.
Okay. Move on. Let's move on.
All right. This is actually no. I'm gonna skip right to this because this is
can't hear you
doing the things.
Talk in the microphone, man. Don't you know how to talk on the show?
I'm doing the things. This is a story which has been floating around the news for a while. This is actually an email which I'm going to be reading, which is from a woman's mother-in-law or soon-to-be mother-in-law because she's marrying a gentleman. And I guess the mother, her soon-to-be mother-in-law, had some issues about her manners, and she wrote her an email sort of detailing some of the things that she had.
And this is, you found this?
Yeah, it's a big story in the UK, and it's been sort of floating around for the last week or so, just because this is an actual email that...
Wow, okay, read it.
All right. From Carolyn Bourne, sent 10 May 2011, 651, to Heidi Withers. Subject, manners. Heidi, it is high time someone explained to you about good manners. Yours are obvious by their absence, and I feel sorry for you. I am being kept awake or woken early by Bomber, who's so profoundly upset by your behavior on your recent visit that he's depressed and anxious. I'm not sure who Bomber is. Anyways.
Maybe her dog?
Perhaps.
I don't know.
Husband? I'm not sure. Unfortunately for Freddie, now Freddie's her fiance, he has fallen in love with you. And Freddie being Freddie, I gather it's not easy to reason with him or yet encourage him to consider how he might be able to help you. It may just be possible to get through to you. I do hope so. Your behavior on your visit to Devon during April was staggering in its uncouthness and lack of grace. Unfortunately, this is not the first example of bad manners I've experienced from you. If you want to be accepted by the wider Bourne family, I suggest you take some guidance from experts with utmost haste. There are plenty of finishing schools around. Okay. You would be an ideal candidate for the Ladette to Lady television series, which I'm guessing is kind of like a charm school type series, like a reality show where they take... and.
Teach people manners. Yeah.
Please, for your own good, for Freddie's sake, and for your future involvement with the Bourne family, do something as soon as possible. Here are a few examples of your lack of manners. Listen out, because they need to be spelled out. When you're a guest in another's house, You do not declare what you will and will not eat unless you're positively allergic to something. I can kind of get it. It's kind of... speaking for myself, I'm not a huge fan of onions. I'm not going to make a big deal. I'm not going to make somebody,
cook something different.
I'll deal with it.
Yeah.
Like an adult. You do not remark that you do not have enough food.
You do not have enough food?
That you do not have enough food. So, you do not start before everyone else. These seem kind of like common sense things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do not take additional helpings without being invited by your host. When a guest in another's house, you do not lie in bed until late morning in households that rise early. You follow in line with house norms. All right?
Wow. I don't want to go there.
Yeah. Sounds like a fun place. You should never, ever insult the family you're about to join at any time, and most definitely not in public. I gather you pass this off as a joke, but the reaction in the pub was one of shock, not laughter. I have no idea whether you wrote to thank Georgia for the weekend, but you should have handwritten a card to her. You should have handwritten a card to me. You've never written to thank me when you've stayed at Houndspool. Georgia has quite the most exquisite manners of anyone I've ever come across. You would do well to follow her example. And finally, you regularly draw attention to yourself. Perhaps you should ask yourself why. It is tragic that you have diabetes. However, you aren't the only young person in the world who's diabetic. I know quite a few young people who have this condition, one of whom is getting married in June. I've never heard her discuss her condition. She quietly gets on with it. She doesn't like being diabetic. Who would? You don't need to regale everyone with the details of your condition or use it as an excuse to draw attention to yourself. It is vulgar. As a diabetic of long standing, you must be acutely aware of the need to prepare yourself for extraordinary eventualities. The walk to Mothcombe Beach being an example. You're experienced enough to have prepared yourself appropriately. Okay. No one gets married in a castle unless they own it. It is brash, celebrity-style behavior. So, you're getting married in a thing.
That's stupid. I think anyone could get married in a castle.
Whatever you want.
Yeah.
I understand your parents are unable to contribute much towards the cost of the wedding. There's nothing wrong with that, except that convention is such that one might presume that they would have saved over the years for their daughters' marriages. Ouch. If this is the case, it would be most ladylike and gracious to lower your sights and have a modest wedding as befits both your incomes. One could be accused of thinking that Heidi Withers must be patting herself on the back for having caught a most eligible young man. I pity Freddie. Signed, Carolyn.
Wow.
Poor Freddie.
Poor Freddie.
Yeah.
Poor Freddie for having a... That's his mom, right?
Yeah, that is Freddie's mom and... this lady's soon to be mother-in-law. Hopefully the wedding is still going on. But I was reading a follow-up story on this, and the father of Heidi, who's the bride-to-be, is basically said, yes, this is a genuine letter. This woman is kind of a bitch.
How did this get out to everybody?
She is probably forwarded.
Oh, it's because the lady who's getting married, because she likes to draw attention to herself, probably forwarded it to everybody.
Can you
on Facebook, yeah.
Can you believe what this... Yeah, that's kind of extraordinary. I've never... my mother-in-law's lovely lady. Never had any problems with her.
Yet.
whoa.
But you have good manners, so like you don't...
Do
you know what I mean? Like, it sounds like that the person who they're writing that to is somebody who just doesn't give a shit about anything that anybody else says. You know, like if she comes to the home and she's asking, you know, like for them, telling them what she eats and what she doesn't eat and stuff like that. Like that's, that would find that irritating. If someone came over to my house.
It is common sense or common courtesy.
Common courtesy, right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. And like a lot of the things that was described in the letter, I'm like, well, I kind of agree. with, like, what was she saying? Like, you know.
Yeah. Like, the one thing that I don't agree with is you don't help yourself to additional servings unless asked by the host. That's me.
Well, especially if it's family.
If it's family, yeah.
You shove your face full if it's family.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know. That I find too
extreme. Depends. Like, you know, it depends on the family, right? Some families, depending upon where they're from, they might see it as an insult if you don't help yourself to seconds because they think that you might not like the food.
Yeah.
Right? You know, but if you know, and if you do, they're like, oh, yeah, you're great.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The whole sort of diabetic thing was a bit much.
Well, okay, if you were hanging out with someone and all they ever talked about was being diabetic and how much it sucked and all their symptoms.
Are you sure you didn't write this letter, Rochelle?
Blah, blah, blah. Like, I'd be like, okay, but haven't you been diabetic your whole life? Like, why are you complaining about this?
Well, but some people just like to talk about themselves and just like to draw attention to themselves. I mean, it's diabetes. It's not like it's irritable bowel syndrome or something.
Yeah.
You know, that would be a little much if you're always talking about your condition.
My bowels are going crazy. And mostly because of that food you fed me. Yeah. That I had 12 of. Without asking.
But I think what she was referring to, it sounded like they were talking about going for a walk on the beach or something, and how she wasn't prepared to go for the walk on the beach. And, you know, it would be irritating if you're trying to do something with your family and this one person is, you know, saying that she can't do stuff.
Oh, I forgot my insulin at home or whatever. Didn't bring a candy bar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. She sounds like a magnet for drama.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I'm curious how Heidi and Freddie's future marriage will be turning out. Not too good.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it should even happen, honestly.
No, unless you just kind of cut the mother-in-law out of the picture. But then...
Yeah, but if they're paying for the whole wedding, you...
Yeah, good point.
That's kind of hard to do.
This is probably the most extraordinary story I've read today. And I just have to say it here. Penis size linked to finger length. The longer a man's ring finger when compared to with his index finger, the longer the length of his penis, according to Korean researchers. And I saw you look at your hand there, Kelly.
Yeah, I know.
The longer the ring finger is compared to the index finger, the longer is the pointer finger, right?
Yeah, the longer a man's ring finger when compared to his index finger, the longer the length of his penis, according to Korean researchers.
Well, your two fingers are the same length. I don't think that makes sense.
The research team measured the finger.
Your hand.
It's about the same as Eric's.
Yeah.
Well, we are.
Oh no,
white
your
guys.
Ring finger is longer than your index finger, Kelly.
Well, there's really only one way to settle this dispute. Pants coming off.
No way. I've known Kelly for like 10 years, and we don't need to do that.
All right. The research team measured the fingers and penises, both stretched out and flaccid, of 144 men who were anesthetized.
Stretched out. They mean erect, right?
It says stretched out. I'm not sure what.
I mean, yeah, if they're unerect, you can just get some tweezers or something.
Both stretched out and flaccid of 144 men who were anesthetized before undergoing urological surgery. So they did this.
What? That seems kind of wrong.
So against their consent.
Yeah. You know, you go.
We just put them under and then play with their dicks. Like, come on.
They get up the ruler and then they get their hands and go, huh, no shit. These guys are out completely. They don't know what's going on. They just.
That is weird. What country is this in?
Korea. Based on this evidence, we suggest that the digit ratio can predict adult penile size, and the effects of prenatal testosterone may in part be explain the differences in adult penile length, the researchers reported Monday. The length of the penis when stretched is believed to correlate to its erect length, the team reported. Earlier studies suggested the ratio is governed by prenatal exposure to the male and female sex hormones, testosterone, and estrogen. Women tend to have ring index fingers of roughly equal length. We're just checking this out. Yeah, about the same.
Yeah.
A result of less testosterone exposure in the womb, according to the researchers. So. Well, I've heard of shoe size. I've heard of nose size.
Is this like the biggest mystery of the world or something?
Because I think...
What makes your dink big?
Yeah.
You know, there's probably... probably had a bit of downtime, you know, while they're performing
their
surgery.
Maybe this is just what dudes, like, always care about, like, for their whole life. This is all they talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they finished this surgery and they said, well, he's not going to be up for, like, another half hour. So where's the ruler? Let's put this to fucking rest.
Because isn't this what, like, schoolboys do in the playground or something? They, like, measure and see each other.
I don't think it ever stops.
I think that's it. I've never compared dicks with... their school kids?
You've never done that? I thought that's what guys did. I don't know.
Maybe, I don't know.
I don't know.
Our friends? No?
Listeners, have you ever... I'm gonna throw this out to the listeners. If you have ever, as a school child in elementary, amongst your friends, whipped down your pants, compared your little elementary school penises, and... has it ever happened to you? info@tiptaptip.com is your email address. Let us know your story. We will tell it.
You know what I always remember little school kids doing, little school boys doing? Peeing down the slide. Like, plastic slide. And then as a girl, you go down it and you're like, fuck off. Someone pissed on this one. But it was dry. It was dry. So all you could do was just smell it. Like, it just fucking reeked. Because they're the ones that are like tubes, right? So there's no air going in.
Oh, okay. Not like the open-faced metal ones, right?
The tube ones.
Oh, those, okay.
Little boys peeing down those slides all the time. I've seen them do it.
And they're laughing
and
their asses.
And you smell it. And they just think it's the fucking greatest thing ever.
Actually, if
you I do a water slide.
It does sound
so
pretty funny, Rochelle.
Gross.
I don't know if I could help myself.
So gross.
I'd just be laughing the whole time. girls, slide down this in like a little bit.
Whatever. I could pee down it too. It's not like it's impossible.
I guess it can work.
It just would never occur to you.
It's just girls have manners, Eric.
Not like guys and... All right, we're actually approaching the end of our show, if you can believe that. But before we sort of finish, I think we should talk a little bit more about... Actually, we have one last thing that
we're going to do a game, Kelly.
Ooh, I like games.
Do you know what MASH is?
Speaking of elementary
MASH?
School.
Ooh, yes, I remember.
This is the shit that we used to play like on the school bus because we were on it for way too long every single day. Okay, so it's... I'm going to predict your future.
Okay.
Okay. Name four ladies that you want to get married to.
Besides
your wife.
I can't pick my wife.
Yeah, like famous people that other people know.
Elizabeth Hurley.
Mm-hmm.
Trish Stratus.
Who's
Trish
that?
Yes, I'm not sure. Wrestling. She's a wrestling chick.
Okay. Right.
You like wrestling? I'll keep that in mind for next time. Yeah.
Trish Stratus?
Yes.
Okay.
Joan Jett.
Nice.
And Sandra Bullock.
Oh, you motherfucker. You just had to.
Because you like her?
Because it's funny.
Okay. Okay, name four cities that you want to live in anywhere in the world.
Las Vegas.
Yes.
Hong Kong. Vancouver. And London.
Ontario or England?
England.
Okay, name four occupations, jobs.
Astronaut, starship captain. Those are different enough, right?
Yeah.
Firefighter and drug dealer.
Firefighter and drug dealer. Nice.
It's the,
four cars.
Honda Civic, Ferrari.
Okay, you know that you can have any car, right?
I know.
Okay.
My first car.
Okay.
Honda Civic, Ferrari, Volkswagen van, and dune buggy.
Nice. So Rochelle is just going to tabulate these results.
Well, no. One more thing.
Oh,
right.
Four different ways that you're going to die.
Oh, jeez.
Skydiving. A knife battle.
Yeah.
Heart attack. and hit by a car.
Okay, now tell me when to stop, starting right now.
Stop.
Okay, now I'm going to tabulate.
It's a very scientific thing that Rochelle's doing right now. Thinking, crossing things out. She's gonna predict your future any second now.
I can't wait.
Well, this is very complex stuff, Rochelle.
Something.
Well, did you have to go to school to learn this? Like,
this is on the
prediction?
Bus, right?
I can't talk. You guys talk to each other.
So wrestling, huh?
Well, it's a guilty admission, guilty pleasure. Something I haven't really watched very closely in years, but I used to be pretty hardcore into wrestling.
Yeah, I used to watch a lot of wrestling, like late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, me too.
And I kind of fell out of it. But, it's funny as learning that, like, a lot of the guys that I'd grown up liking are just
dead.
I know, it's crazy. I just learned that Big Boss Man is dead.
Yeah.
I had no lifestyle. You know, well, yeah, I guess if you pump yourself full of roids and live that hard life, next thing you know, your ticker just goes.
Yeah. Big Boss Man, Rick Rude.
Rick Rude.
Who else? There's lots of them.
Yeah, they all die around 40, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And yet somehow Hulk Hogan managed to...
Macho Man just died, eh?
Yeah.
That was sad.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah.
Randy Savage.
Yeah! All right.
I always like Jake the Snake, just because he had a snake.
Who surprisingly is not dead.
Yeah, he's still going. He's still wrestling.
Because that guy supposedly was the biggest drug fiend of them all.
Yeah.
That's me and Eric's philosophy, is that people who do lots of drugs, it, like, preserves their body or something.
Like Keith
as
Richards.
Long as you don't overdose.
All right, okay, so what's the...
Here's your future, Kelly Ray.
Okay.
You will live on an acreage. You will be married to Elizabeth Hurley.
Yes.
You will live in Hong Kong.
All right.
You will be a drug dealer.
In Hong Kong?
Yeah.
Dangerous shit.
You will drive a Honda Civic.
I'm a drug dealer. Come on.
And you'll die of a heart attack.
Because you tried too much of your own product.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Nice. That was good.
Well, shall we wrap the show up?
Sure.
All right, let's do that.
Thank you for listening to Tip Tap Tip. We have on our show today Kelly Ray from Sage Theater. Check it out.
Yeah, they have a website, sagetheater.com. That's theater with an R-E because we're in Canada. I'll put a link up to that on our episode links there. You can check out their upcoming 2011 and 2012 season if you're in the Calgary area.
Yeah.
Be good to check out. We also have a website ourselves, tiptaptip.com, which features links to our Twitter, Facebook, iTunes. You can also comment on any of our episodes if you have something you want to say with that.
Or you can send us story ideas, I don't know, other shit that you might have found on the internet, info@tiptaptip.com, or questions, or just even to say hi is cool too.
If you like the show, best thing you can do is tell your friends. Tell them. A lot. All the time.
And then buy a t-shirt, and then people will just know that you listen to the show because you're wearing a cool t-shirt.
There you go. Yeah, so...
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, it was...
You know, stuff.
Stuff and junk. I think we covered it.
Do you want to say anything, Kelly? Hi, Mom! I'm just joking.
Hi, Elizabeth Hurley.
They've seen you in my dune buggy in Hong Kong.
No, Honda Civic.
Honda Civic. I just wanted the dune buggy because it's such a cool vehicle.
Me too.
Yeah.
I was hoping, I'm like, get the fucking dune buggy. Get the dune buggy. That would be the fun. That would be my pick. I'd be on a dune buggy.
Driving it like being a spaceship captain.
Yes.
Driving a dune buggy.
It'd
That'd
be like
cool.
Star Trek Nemesis, if you've seen that movie, the dune buggy on that. Pretty kick ass.
Yeah.
Nice. Anyways, thanks for listening. My name is Eric.
My name is Rochelle.
I'm Kelly.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.